Okay, cosmology. Just trying something out. I mean, I've been wondering about one thing that I just couldn't get grips on or hold. I mean, anyway, put into place that little piece. But now it just struck me something. It is about this simulated reality concept here, or idea there, virtual, that this is a word kind of can be compared to a virtual reality. Well, this idea they have there with this simulation theory, and that I'm trying to connect you to the Bhagavatam and use the virtual reality metaphor, so to speak. Okay, so if this is indeed like a game we are in now, which is a virtual game, we make the parallel to the computer games, which they do, some of those simulation theory advocates, that, you know, we might, if we continue doing this fantastic virtual reality simulation stuff that we're actually doing, we will in 50 or 100 years be able to do it so well that it's indistinguishable from reality. And then the next, I guess, playful thought, but there's more to it, is then that maybe we already did, and that's where we are now, in such a simulated world, simulated reality. Now, the Bhagavatam and the, of course, the entire cosmology we have been drawing up here so far actually says that too. It actually gives, if we should be honest, we should really look at it, virtual reality cosmology. And so does that part of quantum physics that we're talking about here. So there's more to this than just some fanciful speculation. So now, what I couldn't put into place was this, that if it is so, that these forms that I see and that I also have in the form of this body are just virtual avatars, you know, in a computer, and how come that they are so complex and built up of these small little pieces and cells and so on, and molecules. Why do that? A computer programmer wouldn't do that, wouldn't need to do that. It would just, you know, here's your form. But then I thought, like this, it just struck me that what is happening actually with VR games and things like that is that, well, they have so far been This is kind of computer tech stuff, but it's interesting for those who can follow. They have been vector-based, the graphics, meaning that they basically just define a shell that becomes an object that is a form that we experience and that we are world. There's nothing in it, so to speak. But there is another kind of 3D graphics, and that's voxel-based 3D graphics. And there it gets interesting, because just as we have pixels on a monitor, that are 2D, not 2D images, have 3D images, can have voxels, and that is true 3D or even 4D, because you have an interior where you can put a whole world too. And in fact, that's what it is here. And just imagine if you're programming, but on a much higher level than having people looking at things with screens, with their eyes, which this must be in that case, some kind of interface that plugs this VR world right into their minds, into our minds. Let's just get a little innovative, a little bit, use our imagination here. Science fiction movies already showed it, right? You put on a helmet or something and then it just goes right into your brain and takes over your mind, and then you can have your perfect VR experience, Total Recall style, that movie. So let's just imagine there we are now. Then if you would be a programmer or such a Total Recall computer or whatever it was, we use that movie here as an example. It's good for analogy. Then how would you program this? You're not programming something that you output on a 2D screen, a 2D monitor. Your program is something that you're outputting into a mind, into a 3D environment that is not existing in the form of 2D monitors in front of eyes, but is much more sophisticated. Then you would naturally think of programming using voxel-based 3D graphics. But you could do it very smart. You can encode the program, parts of it, inside those voxels, in those forms, making them create themselves, so to speak. maintain themselves and regenerate and divide and expand, and you would build that game in that way. I guess you could, I mean, I can think of how to do it, at least outline some pseudo code for how you could would do that. It's an interesting thing, actually, because we're talking now DNA code and stuff like that. In other words, pieces of code embedded in the voxel, so to speak. But of course, the voxels are even smaller than that. So it's a very, very advanced piece of creation here. And you would really, if you look at it at the very voxel base, so to speak, you would have that quantum field that the quantum physics talk about. Where there is, if I understand it right, simply a matrix of electromagnetic energy, basically, because isn't that what's going on down there in the atoms and electrons and all that? But they are not particles, they are all part of a field, like vortexes in a stream or something, and they appear then as what we call atoms. So the atoms would be the voxels, really. And then what is behind those? You know, the intricate order. As David Bohm puts it. That would be the mind. Could that be reasonable? You've got the mind as the substance, basically, or the machine. But this is all this program is running in. Intelligence, the senses, you know, of the living being, the conscious person who is the player, so to speak. Connects into that mind.
which is an energy, energetic, and thus we stick to this computer virtual game allegory, metaphor here. And then the program. Does its job. Just as when you're playing a game and you move your whatever mouse or whatever interface, you move around in there, you control, you act in there. But this machine, this program is hooked right into your mind. Your mind is connected to that mind, which is a false mind, it's a fake mind, it's an artificial mind. And your intelligence starts acting in that mind. Your senses hook up to that. Just as your other interfaces may hook up to that computer, that world inside that computer. And there you are. You're given an avatar, a form, which again is shaped and defined and so on by some higher invisible control. What kind of body shall you get? What possibilities will it give you? What and so on? What guna does it have? Depending on who you are, what you deserve, and so on. Your guna. And there is that voxel-based graphics object starts to appear, partially driven by and guided by code embedded in itself that and algorithms, you could say, that make those voxels build up from the small there. Something like that. But then, of course, in that body that then appears, well, that body is like a world. There are so many residents of this body that are not us. So it's really, there is a, it's not just for technical reasons that it's built like that, voxel-based. With that programming going on in those little chromosomes and all that. But rather, that's somewhere where the world begins, or something like that, or at least it's one level, that which we call the microscopic world, with all these little beings crawling and running and flying around there and living their lives as a whole world. And all that world is there inside my body. And all over, basically, where there are those who live. So there's just life everywhere. Whoever those little beings are, those people right now living as little microbes inside my body. Well, they are majority anyway. We are just a very few giants walking around. So that's the game. It's going on all those different levels. I could have been an antibody right now, part of an army down there. Marching around in the vessels of my body, protecting it. Heroic. I mean, that's going on in there. So we tend to stop looking at where we are, as if that's the main existence here, but we need to see the whole thing, the whole world. But it's an interesting thought, this VR game.